Shalom liyehudim, shalom lebnei noach, shalom legoyim. It's the evening of the fourth day, kaf tes bechodesh malchishvan, parashas toldos, tavshin pei 5780, the evening of the third day, Tuesday, 26 November 2019. Webcasting from Israel, whose good news today was the decision of Avichai Mandelblit, the most powerful Israeli in politics, thanks to a political system Israelis evince no desire to change. His Majesty Mandelblit decided that despite accusing Bibi of multiple crimes, he does not have to stop being prime minister. Welcome to the village of Chelm. And for those who don't know, Chelm is an imaginary village in Yiddish folklore where everybody in it is an idiot. Logic is turned inside out. The very name is a Yiddish mangling of the Hebrew word for dream, chalom. Last week, Avichai Mandelblit's heart was heavy, he told us, as he supported the proposition that the prime minister who gave him a life in politics is a criminal. But yesterday he cited a law passed in the Knesset in March 2001 which does not require an indicted prime minister to step down. I don't think he discussed in his statement the background to that law, but the date is significant. In February 2001, the people voted to terminate the tenure of Ehud Barak, make it the shortest prime ministership in history, and voted into office Ariel Sharon. Drafting and voting on this law was one of that government's first acts, supported by even Tzipi Livni and Labour and Meretz. Without going into the history of that moment, that was when the Second Intifada was raging. This law has now ended the demand that Netanyahu has to stop being prime minister. That's good news, and one would want to know if Mandelblit knew he was going to do this before he did what he did last Thursday. Tonight in Tel Aviv, there will be a demonstration by supporters of the prime minister, significantly absent major players in the Likud party. The standout challenger is Gideon Sa'al, who's openly calling on the prime minister to resign, which I find simply ugly. The prime minister is innocent until proven guilty. And for his contributions to Israel, he has earned backing in his time of need, even if you think he's guilty. Let's do a mind experiment. Imagine a dear friend goes to a simcha, a happy occasion, a celebration of a wedding or a circumcision, and while there, he has more than one drink. And at the end, he goes home, goes to drive home, and he does, and he is involved in a terrible car accident. And someone in the other car died and was killed, and a blood test showed he was a hair's breadth over the legal limit of alcohol in his system. Now, you have a choice. Even though you believe he was the guilty party, even apart from the alcohol, you can still help your friend by helping him to find the best lawyer possible, or you can stand out in front of his house, point and shriek, "Murderer! Murderer!" Of course, you help him find a good lawyer. Likewise, Bibi deserves the support of his party, period. Even if he is guilty of all the four charges, none matches the behavior of an Obama who sent $150 billion to a nation responsible for the killing of Americans by the thousands, and that also pays people to attend Death to America rallies. Bibi's alleged crimes are chump change. And I confess, I know so little of Gideon Sa'al and his accomplishments in life to make me think he would be a superior prime minister to the current one. It is the absence of accomplishments as well I see in all those Democratic candidates. They are all snake oil salesmen of their big ideas for the future. None talks of their past, a past of accomplishments, that would make a voting citizen want to vote for them, want to think they could handle the job of Commander-in-Chief of the United States Armed Forces. The president is at all times within reach of the so-called football, the suitcase of equipment he could use to launch atomic bombs against an enemy. And I would not want any of those Democratic aspirants to be a president because of that. I have no reason to think Kamala Harris has the right stuff to be in that position. Certainly not the anti-Semitic communist of Jewish extraction, Mr. Sanders, last seen hugging Ilhan Omar. I would not want to see Elizabeth Warren as president. This woman, who, like Hillary, cannot stop lying. For her admission to the bar, or was it to law school? I forget which. She claimed to be a Cherokee Indian. As an American schoolboy, they taught me George Washington could not tell a lie about chopping down a cherry tree. As adults, we learned the whole story was apocryphal, the imagination of Parson Weems, but it doesn't matter. The point of the myth told to children is making a virtue of not lying. Versus the seditious attempt to remove Trump from office by some of the highest public servants in the land, in law enforcement no less, in the Department of Justice and the FBI, none of whom seems to have had any sense of restraint when it came to using their powers. And it's no accident, no coincidence, that the attempted coup against Trump was committed by allies and in favor of Hillary Clinton, who exposed herself in the 1970s as a woman with no sense of right or wrong in the practice of law. Fresh out of law school, Yale Law School, valedictorian no less, thanks, I believe, to her, not her intelligence, but extraordinary memory, she was hired by the Congressional Committee investigating Watergate, led by a liberal New York Democrat who no less than Hillary wanted to depose Nixon, but unlike her, had a healthy respect for the law and knew what a lawyer can and cannot do to win his case, and he had to fire her for that. For this reason, all these years I've called her Lady Macbeth Clinton, for she is ravenous with ambition for power, the power of a man. She wanted to become the most powerful man on the planet, and nothing else matters. These are the types who committed major felonies in pursuit of reversing the election of 2016. Talk about high crimes and misdemeanors. Starting with Obama, who was at the top of this cabal. They all deserve a firing squad. The nerve of trying to reverse the results of the American election, meaning giving the middle finger to the deplorable ones, a Hillary expression. And what so angered and shocked yours truly was the ignorance of Trump's enemy plotters and schemers, the shameful ignorance of calling for his impeachment on the day he took office, which told me these idiots do not understand the word or the process. It's impossible to even think of impeaching him and removing him from office on his first day because he had done nothing, let alone committed any high crime or misdemeanor. It was also troubling because of this ignorance and really lack of patriotism. Never in American history was there such an insult to the American electoral system as this. Americans like sports, and they like good sportsmanship, and the tradition was always respecting the results of an election, even though your man lost, because it is respecting your neighbor's choice for a candidate, for president, and for supporting him, your neighbor is not a deplorable person. He has the right to see his candidate emerge victorious. This assault on Trump from day one in office to remove him was nothing less than massive disrespect for the 60-some million others in the country who did vote for him. And a good sport is never a sore loser. That is what Hillary, Queen of the Resistance, is. She and her followers, they are the kings and queens of sore losers. Likewise here in Israel, the hatred of Bibi is very much like the hatred of Trump. I'm reminded of an interview I saw like 2 weeks ago on CNN, where their Brian Stelter interviewed the actor Robert De Niro, infamous for his two-word expression during one of those award shows that entertainers so love, F. Trump, it was. That is all he said, and with body language, seems to say there's nothing more to say. That is all you need to know about him. And Stelter asked him, sympathetic Stelter, anti-Trump Stelter, asked him repeatedly to name a thing Trump had done to make him so hateable. And it's an amazing piece of video. De Niro could not think of one thing that Trump had done that he did not like. Complete silence. You could see him thinking and thinking and discovering nothing. And likewise, Bibi is the target of that kind of hatred that is baseless, suggesting deep-seated envy and anger for feeling so inferior to such a successful man. You hate him because his success diminishes you, in your own narcissistic eyes. So it was good news today that Netanyahu remains at the helm of the ship of state, as he should. For even if all the charges are true, they're not serious enough in my mind to invalidate him as a leader with a head for economics and a sober assessment of the Muslims who surround us.
מזמור שיר, שיר ליום השבת. טוב להודות להשם ולזמר לשמחה עליון, להגיד בבוקר חסדך ואמונתך בלילות. צדיק כתמר, כתמר יפרח כארז בלבנון נסגר, שתולים בבית השם, בחצרות אלוקינו יפריחו. מזמור שיר, שיר ליום השבת. טוב להודות להשם ולזמר לשמחה עליון, להגיד בבוקר חסדך ואמונתך בלילות. צדיק כתמר, כתמר יפרח כארז בלבנון נסגר, שתולים בבית השם, בחצרות אלוקינו יפריחו. עוד ינובו בשיבה דשנים ורעננים, ורעננים יהיו, להגיד כי ישר, ישר השם צורי ולא עבלת כתמר, כתמר יפרח כארז בלבנון נסגר, שתולים בבית השם, בחצרות אלוקינו.
And those were verses from Psalm 92. Well, as promised today, mobs of Ishmael androids, all modeled on their forebear wild asses of teenagers, were out for the umpteenth time in my lifetime using the same slingshot Ishmael used, which was one of the first weapons Homo sapiens invented, meaning a tool for killing animals, for killing people. Controlling a flock of sheep by a shepherd, flinging rocks at those who stray to nudge them back into the flock is one of its purposes. The sling was a shepherd's labor-saving device. Without it, a shepherd would wear himself running from one straying sheep to another, pushing them back in the direction he wants them to go, instead of using the sling to hit them on the side and make them go to the other side. in today in five locations in the Holy Land, as planned and supported by Mahmoud Abbas, who believes the Jews never had any temples on Haram al-Sharif, which belief was implicit in the reason for the mob violence today. The official cause was the decision by the Trump administration to confirm a central position of the League of Nations mandate, according to which Judea and Samaria are part of the historic homeland of the Jewish people, a mandate saying not one word about any Palestinians and their alleged history in this land. Congresswoman Rashida Tlaib always manages to speak of her Palestinian ancestors regardless of the topic at hand. And it's a crying shame. Not one pro-Israel Jew in Congress, there must be a dozen of them, or two, not one in the House of Representatives with her has said, "You have no Palestinian ancestors. You were lied to from day one, from the day you were born, that you're a Palestinian, and never mind, there's nothing Palestinian about you." Mike Pompeo is a serious Christian who respects the language of the Christian Bible so that he cannot deny that this country is the country of the Jews, found in the Bible. And no intellectually honest Christian can claim that it is no less the property of the Fanta Palestinians. Where in a Christian Bible can one find even one reference to such a people in this country? The invention of the Palestinians has been in a class with the deicide charge, a legitimate way of smearing Jews with guilt for the evil they have done and do. And today the Ishmaelites were at it again. It was a day of rage and protest. It was the nth time in my life, following the news, I saw visuals of wild Arab young men throwing rocks at Jews using slingshots, this time in a day of rage for the new policy in Washington. For the nth time in my life, following the news, I saw visuals of wild Arab young men throwing rocks at Jews. This time, because the American administration reiterated the truth of the historical record. Judea, the origin of the word Jew, is most certainly a place where Jews can live, which was the essence of the policy statement, and for this statement of historical truth, the barbarians became violent for the nth time. In time-honored fashion, attacking Israeli soldiers and police in uniform with rocks and flaming bottles of gasoline, I assume. Ishmael, in the holy text, is one who is expelled from his father's tents and community and goes to live in the desert. That's not a civilized place, with a bow and arrow. And what was an arrow way back when? A rock chiseled to penetrate after being an improvement on the slingshot. It was a new and improved way to throw a rock faster and further and with greater force than ever before. When Muslims make their pilgrimage to Mecca, to the site where Ibrahim bound his son Ismail for a sacrifice, at the end of his pilgrimage, after visiting a series of sites, he climaxes his holy mission by throwing rocks at a symbolic representation of the devil. Last webcast, I mentioned that Egyptian teenage jihadi who woke up and rejected the indoctrination, at the root of which was the belief that the root of all evil is the Jews. And I think it's worth the effort by official Israel someday to launch a mission to all the Arabs west of the Jordan via TV documentaries, online websites, whatever, all in Arabic, of course, deprogramming this false narrative of lies about Jews and the lie of there having been a Palestinian people, versus the reality that Israel has never tilted its lance at the verbal hologram of the Palestinian people and the Palestinian narrative, Edward Said's invention, that phrase. All Israel ever does is express its desire for a peaceful and respectful relationship with the Palestinians instead of exploding the lies at the heart of their hatred. Admittedly, this would be the object of anger directed at Israel, first and foremost by the mainstream so-called American Jewish organizations, the very same sourpusses who reacted to Pompeo's speech with curled lips. I agree with Caroline B. Glick, who yesterday posted the idea that it's time for Israel to face facts and face the reality that these once supportive organizations are no longer supportive of an Israel that does not wave the banner of the Messianic two-state solution and does not respect the need for a state of Palestine for the Palestinians. She had in mind, and so do I, the American Jewish Congress and the American Jewish Committee, both relics of an earlier period in American Jewish history. AJ Committee came together, if memory serves, in the wake of the lynching of Leo Frank in 1915 in Atlanta by a mob believing he was responsible for the rape and murder of a girl, when of course he wasn't. AJ Committee was the handiwork of reformed German Jews. Then 3 years later, AJ Congress came together by those less snooty Eastern European immigrants. This was a period in which there was friction between the German Jews toward the impoverished Yiddish-speaking immigrants. The reformers were embarrassed by their poverty and their continuing Orthodox belief. Some 250,000 German Jews had entered the U.S. in the 1850s in the wake of the nationalist rebellions in Europe in 1848, which included hostility and danger to the Jews. They established themselves comfortably. Pioneers in 1845 had established Temple Emmanuel on the Upper East Side of Manhattan, and eventually this community would create Mount Sinai Hospital. These Reform Jews, less than happy with the sudden arrival of these Ostjuden, as they were called, these Eastern Jews, and built Hospital Beth Israel downtown to service this community of ragged immigrants on the Lower East Side and keep them away from Mount Sinai. Hence the two separate self-defense organizations, the American Jewish Committee and the American Jewish Congress, who now represent little but the post-religious millionaires who keep their staffers in business. Their responses to Pompeo's speech were pablum, because they are the millionaires who marry off their sons and daughters to non-Jews, their community fashionably disgusted, like Robert De Niro with Donald J. Trump. You're listening to www.deprogramprogram.com, broadcasting from the hills of Judea. I'm Shai Ben-Tekoa. So, Caroline Beaglick expressed what I have thought for some time. The time has come, generations come and generations go, for Israel to be more realistic about the mass of Jews in America who call themselves Jews, many of them not Jews at all. Glick took note, if less sharply than I have, of the jaw-dropping transformation of AIPAC, and how in the future she suggested Israeli prime ministers avoid their conventions. She did so politely, of course. I would suggest, you know, scheduling conflicts and the like. AIPAC demurred in its response to Pompeo, claiming to have no position on settlements. To which I say, horse feathers. The settlements are shorthand for Israel's overall presence in Judea and Samaria, which every sober Israeli knows now Israel can never abandon. It was before I became observant that I changed my politics on Judea and Samaria. The Iran hostage crisis, 1979-1981, during which my cousin was a hostage and threatened with execution for being a CIA spy, which he was not. His crime made him suspect was knowing the language. Of the 52 hostages, I think only three could speak Farsi. So typical of American diplomats abroad, which is unfortunate. During the crisis, a friend, a military historian, a decorated Marine veteran of Vietnam, said it reminded him somehow of the Barbary pirates and suggested I look into that. I did, and was captivated. It required learning about Islam in history that I never knew, which changed my view of Israel's relationship to the locals here. And by the mid-1980s, I understood that Israel can never relinquish Judea and Samaria and survive. And that being the case, Israel had to settle in and live in Judea and Samaria and make it permanently a part of Israel. And if AIPAC does not know that Israel cannot ever tolerate a Palestinian state in a Judenline Judea and Samaria, it knows nothing of Israel and our eternal fight for survival. It was shocking 2 years ago when AIPAC, during its first convention in the Trump era, for the first time never did not back the Netanyahu policy and remained loyal to the world according to Obama. UN Resolution, Security Council Resolution 2334 of December 2016, could not have more plainly conveyed the message that in Obama's mind, Israel was in illegal occupation of land that did not belong to Israel. Every square meter it took from the Jordanians in 1967, it had to return. And so in 2017, AIPAC remained steadfast in its loyalty to the world according to Imam Barack Hussein. And so it is a new era, a new generation, and it's time for Israel to face facts. Okay, that's it for this Good News Day, and I'll be back, God willing, on Thursday. Until then, Laila Tov, Me'eretz Yisrael.